Okay, it's Wednesday night and we're in the middle of studying the Hebrews. Not many people here. Hope a lot of you are watching and listening and growing in the internet. Let's begin with the word of prayer. We need to be in prayer for Phil. Goes into the surgery tomorrow, so we need to be in prayer for him. We need to be in prayer for Bobby, who needs our prayers. So we need to be in prayer for Bobby. Need to be in prayer for Molly. For Molly at this time, and for Phil's, and for Kit's wife, as she is there helping Molly. And so we just need to be in prayer for each other at this time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love the Word of God. It may come that this is all that we really have, is the riches of His Word. So, Father, we pray Your Spirit will continue to call us to grow in the Word of God. Cause us to grasp more and more of the Word of God. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Okay, tonight, why Jesus took humanity to Himself. Why did He become a member of the human race? Now, I want you to please remember verses 1 through 4, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We studied about the danger we all have with the possibility we might drift away from God's Word. What a horrible thing to do, to have happened. The world is quickly now warning us that we are in dramatic war. The Bible warns of wars and rumors of wars. Both of those are plurals. But now, in Revelation, we are in the study not of wars, but and a lot of wars, but isolated and identified wars. The isolated war, Russia and the Ukraine. And aware of Revelation on the coming of the new wars that are very clear in dealing with Israel and around Israel. So, we have the two great things happening in Revelation, especially Revelation 13. Very important is Revelation 13. The beast from the sea and the beast of the air, of the Israel. The beast of the land is Israel, is for Israel. Beast for the sea is Europe, the nation of Europe in war, it's war. Today in America and other countries are speaking of digital financing. What this is going to do is set the scene for one world rule, for one world government. If you don't have the digital money, you can't buy. You can't function. So we're in a very close move for what is happening in the Revelation in America and or in the whole world at this time. This will get the world ready for a one world in Revelation. But remember, when you talk about one world, because a lot of people are talking about it, you have one world view, for an example, with Russia. One world rule, China. One world rule by Egypt. So, while we talk about one world rule, there will be other places ruling and wanting that one rule. And people are talking about it, about needing somebody to take control, be in control of the world. Now, for a while, it highly was caused a lot of people to talk about Adolf Hitler. But, of course, he didn't. So he's out of the picture now. But today, people are looking for someone to be rule enough and powerful enough to take care of the problems in the world. People are talking about in the world Putin. Others are mentioning about Zelensky. And so people are just mentioning names. They want somebody to come forward and take care of the messes in the world, but not Jesus. But not Jesus. Not Biden either. But not Jesus. And so, people, we must go to the Bible every day. First Hebrews 2:1-4, we saw the warning of drifting away from the Word of God. We also studied five warnings from the book of Hebrews to the world, to the Bible, to God. Drifting, doubting, dullness, despising, defying the Word of God in chapter 12. So there's so much going on in the world today, and what we need to do is just grab the Bible, sit down, and find peace in the Word. Now, let's go to verse 3. We're ready for verse 3 of Hebrews 2. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. Now, the message of redemption and so great a salvation was offered by Jesus Christ and confirmed by those who were alive and witness of Jesus Christ. Note in this same verse, if we confirm, there's the issue, if we confirm to us by those who heard. This tells us this is not Paul or the apostles who's writing this. So somebody we do not know is writing the book of Hebrews. The Israelites experienced consequences when they drifted away from the words spoken through the prophets, and know and neglect so great a salvation. Now, likewise, how will we possibly escape the same consequences if we were to neglect God's Word? We're not going to have any kind of way to escape it. This is why we just went through some 16 important verses on the Word of God last week, the Word of God. Since God values His Word, how much more should we value it? And I encourage you to once a week look through it, maybe not all 16 of them, but read through and look through some of the values of the Word of God. How often do you study the Word of God? How often do you read the Word of God? How often do you read and study your Bibles? Do you spend time concentrating on the Word of God? Some verse, some verses, some verse, some chapter? Or is Sunday the only time? Some of you do. Places throughout the world do not even have a Bible. Do not have a Bible. and they want a Bible so badly, and we just nonchalantly will not look at it and study it. The one thing God wants from His children more than anything else is the knowledge of the Word of God. Now, as we grow in our knowledge of the Bible, it allows God to do more for us and through us than He ever imagined. The more you study the Word of God, the more you give God the opportunity to use you and to in the world. Not growing in God's Word limits God. Not growing, not studying, not wording limits God and what He has worked and what He will do. Therefore, we need to make learning His Word a priority in our lives. I'm going to go over a passage in Hebrews several times while we study the book. One is Hebrews 6. Take a look at it. Get it to where you know it, like John 3:16. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washing and laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. In other words, it's time, let's move on, understanding more in the book, in the Bible. Now, Hebrews chapter 2. Let's think about this book, chapters 2. I didn't do this last week, but Hebrews chapter 2. 1, stay focused on the Word of God. Stay focused on the Word of God. Do not be drifted away from it. Stay focused on the Word of God. Verses 1 through 4. 2, Jesus, King of the final dispensation. Chapter 2, verses 5 through 13. I was showing that to you. 3, the great exchange. What in the world is that? Well, we'll find out. A great exchange, chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. And then finally, Jesus, a new and better high priest, chapter 2, 17 and 18. Okay. Human biblical history of the coming world. Take a look now. Chapter 2, the biblical history of the coming world. Right, you have two handouts for you to look at. The first one is more complicated. Now, let me tell you something. I have now a stack after 47 years, 48 years of different charts dealing with history. And so here's one that I have, and it's human biblical history and the coming world. Now you'll notice the ascension of Christ, and then the coming down across from where He sits on the throne, and then down to King of Kings, and then the great white throne judgment. Now, and the black in between, patriarchs, Israel. We didn't start with the Gentiles. Didn't start here, but this started with the patriarchs, Israel, and then the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the rapture, and then the King of Kings, the return of Christ. Now, go back down in the lower part here. The law, that's in Israel, the law goes up to the cross, and then the grace, they call that grace, even though it was grace in the age of Israel, grace in the church to 2020, and then the tribulation, 70 years, 70 weeks in the 7-year tribulation, and then the 1,000 years of the millennial reign. So we got Gentiles, Exodus, Acts, Revelation, and then Revelation 8:4-19, and then Revelation 20 and 22. So there's a flow of the whole Bible right there in front of you. Genesis, Exodus to Acts, Acts to Revelation 1 through 4, and or 1 through 3, and then Revelation 4 through 19. That's the period of the tribulation, and then Revelation 20 through 22, blending of the millennium. Any question? Okay. Now there's another chart, but we'll come to that in a little bit. Let's now move on in our reading and studying. Now verse 4. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders. God testifying, God doing it with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. Now let's see if we can understand what this happening in this section. The construction is a genitive absolute of means. It's a genitive absolute of means. Therefore, by means of God, bearing witness with them by signs and wonders. By means of God, bearing witness with them by signs and wonders. Signs are miracles that draw attention to Jesus Christ. And if Jesus is something about Jesus, it's going to emphasize His deity. John chapter 2, verse 20. Let's open the Word of God to John chapter 2, verse 20. John 2:20. This beginning of His signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and revealed His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 54. This is again a second sign. Now he's talking about Jesus. We saw the first sign, now the second. This is again a second sign Jesus performed when He was come from Judea into Galilee. Now turn to John 6. John 6:14. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which He had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Okay, now there were people that woke up. This is Him. Now, for you to remember, the coming of Jesus Christ as the promised prophet? Look at Matthew chapter 11. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, 3. And said to him, "Are you the expected one, the expected coming one, or are we to look to someone else?" Now turn to Matthew 21. Go from Matthew 11 to Matthew 21. Verse 11. And the crowds were saying, "This is Jesus, the prophet, whom from Nazareth in Galilee." So there were people who knew the words of the Word of God and what was going on. People, even today, it's so rich to know from the Word of God what's going on right now. Today, Wednesday, in the world. It's so wonderful, so relaxing, so peaceful to know what's going on in the world. Now, go back down to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Wonders. Wonders. In verse 4, are miracles, wonders are miracles, are used to show effects that have on those who observe them and even are hearing them. Various miracles reveal God's unique power. So, in the world in which was things, when Jesus Christ was walking on earth, putting forth the power of God, the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, is used to unique some of the amazement by the Holy Spirit. These are all uses to reveal miracles of the great salvation that we all have been offered. Now, these verses reveal so great a salvation. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. Now, Ron Merriman, he's home with the Lord now, but was a wonderful, wonderful man, first of all. I knew him. And then was an excellent teacher of the Word. But he devotes time to the deliverance in stages of so great a salvation. So this is straight from Ron Meyerman dealing with stages in the great salvation. So there's three stages. I'll just tell you. Stage one is the past. Stage two is the present. Stage three is the future. So now let me tell you what's going on. He says, stage one, past tense for the believers, saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from the penalty of sin, Titus 3:5. Let's turn to Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done, did in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So that's stage one, beginning. Now, stage two, present tense, for all the believers right now. It's alive. Being saved from the power of sin. Being saved from the power of sin. Stage one, from the penalty of sin. Stage two, from the power of sin. James chapter 1. Let's look at James chapter 1. James 1, verse 21. James 1, 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. So here is the present tense of the gospel dealing with giving us the freedom from the power of sin. Now, stage three, he put in for a future tense of believers. We'll be saved from the presence of sin. We will be saved from the presence of sin. So we've been saved from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, from the presence of sin. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Romans 3:14. 3:11. Romans 13:11. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from the sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. So all three of the stages are given to us in salvation. Now, we are ready to work on chapter 2, verses 5 through 18. Chapters 5 through 18. The author of Hebrews, whom we do not know, as led by the Holy Spirit, to give five reasons for the Son taking on humanity on Himself. Why did Jesus Christ become a member of the human race? Christmas. The birth of Jesus Christ. He was alive with Abraham. He's been alive forever. But why did he become a member of the human race? I would say, why indeed? I think it's not a good deal. Okay, so five reasons why God, Jesus Christ, took on the humanity to himself. One, that he should taste death. That he should taste death. Death for everyone, and thus bring many into glory, those who will believe, into glory. Chapter 2, verse 5 through 13. Two, second reason, that he might destroy Satan, the one who had the power over death. Verse 4. Amen. That he, alright. No, I didn't mean it that way. Not that way am I. Yeah. That he would destroy Satan, the one who had the power over death. Verse 14. Three. That he might, when he does it, that's what we're saying about he might do. That he might free men from the fear of death. That he might free men from the fear of death. Verse 15. And then four, the last one. We got five. That he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. Verse 17. that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. Verse 17. And then the fifth reason for Jesus Christ becoming a member of the human race, that he might make propitiation for sins of the people, a substitutionary, secondary purpose of his priesthood. All right. Four, that he might make propitiation for sins. Let's just term it that way. That he might make propitiation for sins. 17 and 18. 17 and 18. So, five reasons, you can think in your mind, five reasons why Jesus Christ went to the cross. Why he became a member of the human race. One, that he should taste death for everyone. Two, that he might destroy Satan. Three, that he might free men from fear of death. Four, that he might become merciful and faithful high priest. And five, that he might make propitiation for sins. Okay, now we spend time in verses 5 through 18 and taking a look at the five reasons why Jesus Christ became a member of the human race. Now, what we're going to do is, I thought about it, should I take the time to do it? Yes. Let's get your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. Verse 5, for he did not subject to angels the world to come, about which we are speaking. Verse 6, but one has testified somewhere saying, what is man that you remember of him, or the Son of Man that you are concerned about him? Verse 7, you have made him for a little while lower than angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and have appointed him over the works of your hands. Verse 8, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjection, subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. Obviously we don't today. 9. But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus. This is the first time his name is in the book. It's chapter 2, verse 9. First time the name Jesus is in Hebrews. Because of his suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. Verse 11, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. We're going to go through every verse by verse, but I just want you to feel this whole chapter. For his season, for this reason, he is not ashamed to all to call them brothers, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Verse 14, therefore. Those are the kinds of things when you're reading something with therefore, for therefore, whatever, for this reason, is very important for the flow of the of the Bible. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same flesh and blood, that through death he might render powerless him who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Verse 16, for assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendant of Abraham. Verse 17, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brothers, in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation, satisfaction, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Verse 18, for since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Now, let's get to work and study these things. Chapter 2, verse 5. Open your Bible and get chapter 2, verse 5. For he did not subject to angels the world to come. He did not subject the world to angels, the world that is to come, concerning which we are speaking. First thing I want you to note here is the simple word for. Don't just pass that one by. For at the beginning of verse 5. What it does, it puts together the previous context, verses 1 through 4. God was testifying of the gospel by miraculous deeds and wonders. For these wonders are the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 1 through 4 brings us now, what they do, we're looking at the word that far. Verses 1 through 4 brings us to the great salvation. This is all so beautifully brings from his first advent, the completion to freedom, to salvation, to the second advent, where he will come and rule the world. He will be rule over angels, over Satan, who is the ruler of the world today. Okay. For the world to come. For the world to come. verse 5, is a reference to a new age, a new period, a new dispensation. This is reference to the millennial kingdom, the world to come. That's talking about the millennial kingdom. It will not be under the rule of angels. To the Jews, the angels are powerful and under great influence, but they will not be in control in the New Age. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. Turn your page back over to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, which tells us that Jesus Christ will be over the angels. Verse 6, and let all the angels of God worship Him. That is, that they will be under the rule of Jesus. They are to worship Him. Now, continuing, to keep you in thought with Jesus Christ coming to rule, note the word subject. Subject, S-U-B-J-E-C-T. He did not subject to angels. The word subject means to military setting, means to subject to under the rule of someone. So he did not put them under that rule. To put the angels under the rule of Jesus Christ is what he did. Now, Hebrews chapter 2, and as we go through, if you have any question, raise your hand. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. But one has testified somewhere, saying, what is man that you remember him? Or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and have appointed over the works of your hands. You have put your things in subjection under his feet. Okay, now all of this, verses 2, 6, 7, and 8, is a quote of the Old Testament. Now, what in the world is going on here? Okay, what is the Bible, what in the Bible means all this, and why is it given to us? It must be important to God, because it puts it twice in the Bible. He put it once in Hebrews chapter 2, 6 through 8, and he put another one Psalm. Alright? This is so important, because it was so important, it became twice in the Word of God. Once in the New Testament, once in the Old Testament, once in Hebrews 2, 6 through 8, and second, Psalms 8, 4 and following. Now, it is in the Psalms of David, and is a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. So let's take a look at it. So just turn in your Bibles to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Verse 4. What is man that you take thought of him? Talking to God. And what is the son of man that you care of him. 5, yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crowned him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put him, everything, under his feet. Okay. Two observations we want you to get, I don't want you to miss. Two observations will help us understand what the writer in Hebrews is saying. First, he attached great importance to the Old Testament scriptures. He attached great importance to the Old Testament scripture. Second, the psalmist talks about the insignificance of human beings. The psalmist is talking about the insignificance of human beings, but the author of Hebrews pointed out the majesty of the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, that is the insignificance of human man, of humans, is now in supremacy by his Son taking on humanity. Make sense? Okay. What is man? What is man indeed? Of all that was created, including angels, man was unique. Man was unique. Why was man unique? Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Hebrews 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us, this is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. Did not say that about angels, said that about man. Did not say it about any other animal on earth. To make means performing an activity with a distinct purpose. Here God, the Lord, something more greater than physical makeup, when he's talking about here, but that he had in mind our soul, S-O-U-L. Why? How do we know this? Look what it says, Genesis 1. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. According to our likeness. There is our soul. This, of course, does not refer to all the essences of God, omniscience, sovereignty, omnipotence, omnipresence, but it refers to the soul of man with the love of God in it. Man was originally superior to all angels, or to all animals. Man was originally superior to all animals. Note the reading, and let them rule. Continually reading Genesis. Let them rule. God planned to make man and woman together. Today, man would like they're not to be man and woman. But that is the foolishness of man. And let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Male and female, sexually, physically, but their souls are like each other in the soul. Okay, the Son of Man. Go back now to study of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews, we're dealing with the Son of Man, refers to the idea. It refers to the idea man. That's Jesus. Frequently used this title to refer to himself. Son of Man. Get ready. Son of Man is used 81 times in just the Gospels. Just the Gospels. Most of the time, it's referring to, speaking by Jesus Christ. Now, at least five facts of man's authority in the divine design are in view in this passage in Psalm 8, 4 through 6, and this is where we'll take it in next Sunday, or next Wednesday night. Any question? Okay, let's close in prayer. Oh, Father, there's so much to learn and to understand and to appreciate. What peace you give our souls. What joy you give us. Whatever's going on in the world, we can have peace. Because we know what's going to happen and who's in control. We praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, our Savior, our friend. Pray, Father, you will enrich us in the words we studied tonight. Pray up, develop over in them into our minds. And then next week, continue in this study. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Yes.